You are listening to the Health and Wellness Connection Podcast, the number one wellness podcast designed to provide the latest information to help you achieve your health and wellness goals. Our show features exciting guests, the latest in medical research, and in-depth discussions in current trends on weight loss, nutrition, and fitness. No matter what your interest, the Health and Wellness Podcast has you covered. And now, presenting your illustrious host, Dr. Barry, MD.
Hello, this is your host, Dr. Barry. I want to thank you for listening to the Health and Wealth Collection podcast. We really enjoy all the feedback we've been getting so far and hope to be able to provide you with more exciting episodes in the ongoing future. Also, just want to announce that we are now on Anchor FM. We're also always on AfroVibesRadio.com, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, every Thursday. However, we're also on Anchor FM, which will actually mean we're going to be on every podcast platform. So you can always use your favorite podcast app and just search for Health and Wealth Connection Podcast, and we should be able to, you should be able to pull up the show very easily. Now, if you'd like to reach me, I am Dr. Barry MD on Instagram, at Dr. Barry MD. Also, you can check out our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/next-level-weight-loss. Also, if you want to check out our blog, www.controlyourweight.com. And lastly, and very importantly, is our podcast page. Again, it's anchor.fm/HWC connection. Again, that's anchor.fm/HWC connection. And again, if you go to our podcast page, you can actually join a listener support team and maybe make a small donation every month to the show. Or you can actually listen to the show and listen to some of the sponsors that may come across. So just enjoy the show. It should be now very easy to get access and get the show on your phone or listening device. And of course, if you have any issues or concerns, always reach us by email. And that is at drbarryhealth@gmail.com. Again, email is drbarryhealth@gmail.com. Again, thanks for listening. Stay tuned for the show. Hello, 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 and welcome to the Health and Wellness Connection podcast / radio show. I'm your host, Dr. Barry. I want to thank you for joining us again for another exciting episode of the Health and Wellness Connection radio show. Now, today's show is we're going to revisit a topic we recently talked about, but apparently things are brewing in this area. We want to make sure we really kind of keep you guys abreast of all the news in this area. And we're talking about the coronavirus. There's concerns that the epidemic is worsening. We're going to get really in some more detail as far as what exactly is going on with the coronavirus, where it's at, what we need to be worried about. And of course, we're going to recap some of the things you can do to keep yourself as safe as possible from contracting the illness. So the coronavirus. So we talked about the coronavirus briefly last show. Well, not briefly. We had a whole show about it, actually. But the coronavirus is definitely a real thing now. Of course, the coronavirus, as we've been stated before, is a virus that is known to be part of a family of a large family of viruses that are common in many different animals. Coronaviruses specifically can be found in all kinds of species, from camel, cattle, cats, and bats. Typically, the coronaviruses that infect the different animals typically stay within the species, but sometimes, due to various morphological, you know, mutations and things like that, some of these viruses can jump from species to species. And that is the prevailing theory as to what exactly occurred to create this new virus, brand new virus for 2020. It's actually referred to as the SARS-CoV-2. That is the name of the virus itself that's been officially classified by the CDC and the World Health Organization. Now, the actual illness that is caused by this SARS-CoV-2 is known as the coronavirus disease 2019, abbreviated COVID-19. So when you see COVID-19, that's referring to the actual illness that is created or caused by the coronavirus once it affects its host. Now, the coronavirus itself, as we stated before, is believed to have come from animal sources. Now, the particular virus or variant that is responsible for the COVID-19 illness is actually believed to come from bats, mainly because a lot of the DNA within this virus is found in some of the viral bugs that infect bats specifically. So again, this virus was believed to have originated from Wuhan, China, as it was the first place that an outbreak containing this COVID-19 was found to have. And it was believed to be linked to a large seafood and live animal market. And so there was belief that people who were trading in these live animals and so forth were somehow able to contract this illness from the animals in the market. From there, this bug was able to go from person to person. Now, one thing that's very important is that, you know, this coronavirus, which was initially believed to be a local issue, is now turning into what's believed to be a worldwide pandemic. The CDC just released a report today. This is the first week in February of 2020, where they stated, third week in February of 2020, they stated that it is believed that this coronavirus epidemic or infection has all the actual traits of potentially becoming a true epidemic that will affect everyone's life in the United States as we know it. And it's believed that it's not a situation of if the virus will spread, it's a question of when. And the concern because of some of the traits that the virus is exhibiting. First off, it's believed that corona cases have topped officially 80,000 worldwide, with a little over, 3,000 deaths. So it's believed that this virus is extremely, extremely lethal. Now, as far as the actual level of viruses, the number of viral infected persons, it's believed that majority of these infections are still in mainland China. Again, this was where the origin of the virus initially began, and it's been spreading fairly rapidly from person-to-person transmission throughout China. Now, again, like we said last show, approximately 5 million people were initially believed to have left the Wuhan area and were potentially exposed and were not quarantined at the time. But since then, China has taken very strict measures to quarantine people left and right. And it's believed these measures have helped stem some of the virus spreading throughout China. However, things have gotten a little more complicated since our last show. Apparently, the virus has been discovered in multiple areas outside of China, especially in Europe and the United States. It's believed that approximately South Korea, Philippines, Taiwan, Italy, Hong Kong, Iran, France are all now suffering from various outbreaks, most of them much smaller, but still significant outbreaks throughout these regions. One thing that's being seen is that person-to-person transmission is definitely the most effective method of the virus from being transmitted from person to person, because it's believed that the virus is spread via droplet transmission, meaning, you know, when you speak and, you know, small sputum comes out of your mouth, or if you sneeze or cough and different sputums fly out of your mouth or nose. These are typically how it's transmitted from person to person. And it's also been shown that the virus can stay on a hard surface, wood, metal, plastic surfaces for up to 1 week. So it just shows how hardy this virus is and how resistant it is to, you know, typical, you know, environmental issues that would normally kill most other typical viruses. And so it's believed that all these factors that this virus has is allowing it to be such an effective or very contagious virus, if you will. It's believed that some of these other outbreaks that are being seen in other parts of the world have been due to just simple individuals who were exposed, then spreading the virus to other people, and they may not be actually realize that they're infected. It's believed that the case in South Korea, for instance, it's approximately 140 people were diagnosed apparently over the weekend with the coronavirus. And it was believed that it was due to a lady who attended a church in South Korea who was apparently infectious at the time, was in a large church service, infected many of her church members, and then subsequently went to a hospital and actually exposed more people. Now it seems like all those who were in touch with this lady have all been under quarantine. It's believed now that about 150 people are approximately infected with the virus in South Korea, and there's a few deaths as well. Similar things have been reported in Iran, another area that is seeing a new outbreak of the viral issue. It's actually believed that Iran's deputy health minister himself has also been recently tested positive and is currently getting treatment. And Iran is believed to have about 61 cases, where 15 people have already died. Italy, approximately 270 people have been confirmed with the coronavirus infection, and 7 deaths have already been linked to this virus. So clearly the virus is spreading, and it's believed that it's going to reach the United States and potentially could cause a significant infectious epidemic here in the States. Well, initially, it's believed that those who were potentially exposed in the United States, the good news is that a lot of work has been done here locally to help reduce the spread of the virus. Quarantine measures are being instituted throughout the nation, especially with the CDC working hard to ensure that it identify all patients with the coronavirus and making sure they're quarantined appropriately. There was actually a recent, I'm sure you guys heard of the Diamond Princess cruise ship, which was a cruise ship that was off the coast of Japan. Apparently someone on the ship came down with the illness. This resulted in the ship itself being quarantined, and they had a very difficult time finding a country to accept them. They finally landed in Japan after approximately 3 weeks in the middle of the sea. This was about 2 weeks longer than the cruise was supposed to have lasted. So a lot of the passengers are clearly exasperated. Believed that there was 3,700 passengers on the ship when it first docked in Japan, and approximately 600 individuals off that ship were positive for this coronavirus. And since those 600 have been were tested positive, approximately 300 of them were Americans who have been transmitted or transported back to the United States. These people were being put in different facilities throughout the nation where they're being monitored and being placed in quarantine to ensure that they don't spread the virus to other people. So the virus is very real. This potential epidemic is very concerning. A lot of CDC officials are becoming very, very worried, and therefore they are putting out the word that, hey guys, this is a real issue. This is something that you need to be concerned about because it could potentially be a worldwide epidemic. One thing that's very interesting about this virus is that there's not a lot of penetration in the continent of Africa yet. Outside of Northern Africa, which particularly Egypt, which is one confirmed case, there's not too many African nations that have officially noted any coronavirus patients. This is interesting development and something we're going to be watching very closely. There's been concern that Africa's health infrastructure may not be able to sustain a worldwide pandemic. However, it seems like at this point in time, the virus really hasn't reached the continent in substantial numbers. Outside of Egypt, most of the countries in Africa, especially sub-Saharan Africa, have really no documented case of coronavirus at this time. So let's talk more about this coronavirus and what it's about and what we're worried about. What we're worried about, of course, is something that potentially could cause massive health issues, sickness, and death. We saw a similar outbreak with the SARS epidemic in the mid-2000s, and that also originated in China and caused a lot of havoc in a short period of time. Now, SARS hasn't really been active for many years now, but there's many concerns that, given the fact that the coronavirus is showing a lot more fatalities, if you will, in those who are suffering from it compared to SARS and other viral infections, it's believed this coronavirus could be a lot deadlier and a lot more dangerous. So there's a lot more concern regarding this coronavirus, and hence the very strict measures being in place, being put in by the CDC, as well as the Chinese CDC and so forth. And so we're going to talk more about, you know, why coronavirus is so concerning compared to other infections like the flu and the SARS and so forth. And we're going to really kind of dive deep into what we can do, or, you know, how we can protect ourselves from contracting and coming down with this illness. And if you do get exposed to someone who has coronavirus, what you should do as well, just so you can ensure that you have the best possible outcome. Again, this coronavirus is real, guys. It's getting, seems to be more concerning spreading further and wider, and something that we all need to be cognizant about. Stay tuned, guys. We're going to talk more about the coronavirus, more information about where it's going, what the virus is doing, what you need to do, as well as how you can keep yourself safe. Again, this is Dr. Barry here, host of the Health and Wellness Connection. Stay tuned. We got more show for you after the break. Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Health and Wellness Connection podcast. It's your host, Dr. Barry, here again, talking about the coronavirus. It's a pretty big thing right now, and we're really kind of making sure we're monitoring this epidemic closely to ensure that it doesn't get any, you know, worse. And if it does, we're able to kind of track it and ensure we protect ourselves the best we can. So the thing about the coronavirus is kind of interesting, because President Trump recently came out with a statement saying that there was some belief that the virus would be, or the epidemic or the infections would be potentially gone by spring, you know, as the summer warms up. But there is some concern from the CDC that speaks against that fact. The reality is the CDC believes that given the nature of this COVID-19 infection, that it's literally not a matter of when. So it's not a matter of if, but a matter of when it will spread across the United States as far as person-to-person transfer from the communities. So important that, you know, we understand this, because people sometimes feel that, well, you know, once it gets hot, you know, we expect everything to get better and die down. But the CDC is stating that it's extremely worrisome how this virus is moving, and there's a really, really high likelihood of a possible outbreak. So it's actually saying that people need to be thinking about how to prepare themselves now and not waiting until everything is really, you know, helter skelter before you start trying to prep and prepare for a potential epidemic situation. So what happens in an epidemic situation? Why is it important? Well, first things first, you have to ensure that there's a chance that you may not be able to go out from your dwelling for a period of time. There was actually a recent lockdown situation that took place in Spain. Somewhere in the Canary Islands, there was a hotel that housed about 300 plus guests. And apparently one of the people staying at the hotel tested positive for the virus. So in response, the actual government or the local health infectious government or program entity there in Spain shut down the hotel and basically is refusing to allow the people in the hotel from leaving. And this is, again, the entire hotel shut down, meaning everyone who's staying there is essentially quarantined. However, the one person who is sick was taken to the local hospital and being treated. But it shows out how everything could really be changed overnight. If you're in a facility where someone is coming down with the illness, sometimes there's a belief that it's best to quarantine the entire environment to ensure that it doesn't spread out from that environment. Due to the coronavirus's extremely infectious nature and relatively high kill percentage, which at this time is believed to be about 2-3% of mortality rate from the infection, it's extremely concerning for the potential risk of mass casualties. So everything is being done to ensure that if there is a potential area where the coronavirus is being found, very extreme quarantine measures will likely be instituted. And CDC is actually putting a warning out right now to ensure people are getting ready for that. So you should definitely start, consider getting some masks, consider, you know, getting some food that you can, you know, stock up on at the house. Consider, you know, getting a lot of water, things you can keep nearby so that in case you do have to stay in your house for 2 weeks, you'll have enough food and water to sustain yourself. So this is very real, guys. So one thing that's also being worked on as well is a vaccine. You know, the vaccine is something that, of course, takes time. However, things are being done ASAP by the CDC and WHO to help figure out the quickest way to get the medication to market. It's believed that given the current ways that these, you know, medicines are created and the research and development that needs to be done to ensure everything is safe and human trials and so forth will be conducted, it's believed between 6 to 8 months, maybe up to a year before the vaccine is available. So before that, we have to ensure that we're doing what we need to do to reduce our likelihood of contracting the virus or giving it to someone else. And of course, avoiding, you know, getting sick yourself. Of course, it's easier said than done, but we're going to give you some tips on how you can, you know, try to do what you need to do to really reduce your risk for getting sick. But one thing that's being done on a government level here in the United States is that there's a concern that, you know, the CDC may not be funded well enough to really handle all the financial requirements and the financial demands that are needed for a true kind of, you know, emergent response to this impending epidemic. So Trump is actually asking for $2.5 billion to help combat this fight, and it's likely something that will end up happening. Now, people are kind of critical of Trump too for this, because prior to this whole season, CDC was recently, you know, actually its finances were recently cut. So some people are saying that it was a short-sighted move by Trump early on, but it seems like this will be rectified so that CDC will be able to fight this potential epidemic appropriately. Now, who's most at risk? Similar to the flu, those who are very old and very young are typically the most at risk. It's believed that those who are very old, particularly ages 30 to 79, have a significantly higher likelihood of mortality when they contract this illness. So it's still something that needs to be, you know, extremely, you know, people need to be very careful if someone is having symptoms, be they old, be they young, just because of the potential high risk of severe complications, including severe pneumonias and respiratory stress, possibly premature death. So, you know, it's something that we all have to be aware of, because, again, you know, things are happening, people are getting sick, and we have to make sure that we are protecting ourselves the best we can. So what do we do? We don't have a vaccine, guys. We don't have any clear idea of how to treat this pathogen due to some of the ways that it's been reproducing, and, you know, and things are being tried. Some of the HIV medications are being used potentially to help reduce some of the proliferation of the virus in certain patients. It's been shown to help treat certain patients as well. But, you know, that's still an experimental phase. And the most important thing we can do now is to ensure that we are, you know, doing what we can to protect ourselves the old fashioned way. One thing that's being shown with the virus and how to, you know, limit its spread is that it's been shown that, you know, bleach and other, you know, antiseptic agents are extremely effective in killing the virus, especially if it's on a surface area or even if it's aerosolized in the air. Therefore, you know, first thing you do to be sure that you're not getting the virus or spreading it is try and wipe down areas that you're in, especially if you're in a public area, hospital, or even a public, you know, school or something where there's a lot of people who are coming back and forth, sneezing, coughing, and the like. You want to make sure you're using, you know, bleach or any kind of antiseptic-based spray or wipes to clean off the surfaces that you're commonly in contact with, including desks, phones, you know, the computers and things of that nature. Also, one thing about, you know, keeping yourself as healthy as possible is really important. And that's really the second thing you should do, is that's one thing we always preach every day, is to, you know, drink your fluids, stay hydrated, you know, ensure your immune system is in tip top shape as possible. You do this by taking your, you know, making sure you're getting your vitamins, your nutrients, getting those nutrient dense meals so that your immune system can really create, you know, the cells to fight off this infection properly. If you're a healthcare provider like myself, you know, be on the lookout for those who are sick, who come across your clinic, your place of work and so forth, because healthcare providers are some of the most vulnerable people here who can get sick from this illness, because, you know, they can easily contact folks who are sick before they're actually diagnosed. And if that is the case, you need to be sure that you're preparing yourself and protecting yourself so that you don't come down with something that you may not be aware of until it's too late. And of course, if you, you know, meet anyone from recently came from China, any of the areas that it's been known to have active infection, it's really, really important that, you know, you're considering quarantining yourself, especially if you have symptoms or fever or any kind of issues that you may have, you know, developed after interacting with someone who's recently been to China. Something you definitely want to do is to, you know, reduce your exposure to others as well as, you know, take care of yourself, drink a lot of fluids, try and see your healthcare professional to ensure that you're not getting any worse, and they can ensure that if your symptoms do progress, they can get you in the appropriate facility to ensure that you do improve. All right, so another thing you want to try to minimize when you're kind of just in general, but especially now during this flu season, you want to, again, reduce your contact with people, especially if they're sick. If someone is coughing, febrile, you know, having illnesses, any kind of signs of, you know, flu-like symptoms, try and minimize contact with said individuals. You don't want to be kind of sharing cups, sharing utensils, you know, in the area where sneezing and coughing droplets could potentially contact your mucosa, including your mouth, nose, and eyes. It's actually been shown that coronavirus has been able to penetrate through the eyes, eyeballs, the eye mucosa, and get into the system, causing those you know, flu-like illnesses. So protecting yourself is extremely important. Minimize also touching your nose, mouth, eyes, and face, especially after shaking hands or touching unknown surfaces. These are excellent ways to get the virus in your system by touching a potential desk that has a virus on it, and then you didn't put it on your system by licking your fingers or touching your eyes or digging your nose. These are things you do not want to do at this time. And if you do touch your face, try at least to wash your hands before you do that. So important, a great way to help reduce the potential risk of infecting yourself. And lastly, you know, another thing you definitely want to do is restrict travel. It's actually now a lot of flights are being restricted to and from China, just to reduce the risk of, you know, people get a new infectees getting the virus that aren't in the area. Of course, if you are in an area that has a known outbreak, you should probably be quarantined, at least for, I believe right now it's about 14 days, because that is believed to be the time period that it takes for the virus to declare itself if someone is contracted the virus. So very important that, you know, you're doing what you need to do to keep yourself away from others if you are sick. And if you know someone who is sick, you're trying to minimize contact with said individual. And last but not least, see your doctor. If you do feel symptoms, you do feel ill, go to your local emergency room, make an appointment to see your primary care doctor. But get checked out, because this virus has been known to progress quite quickly. People who have been doing okay within a week, sometimes up to 2 weeks, they're extremely ill, requiring significant hospitalization and intubation and so forth. So this virus is no joke. It's believed that, again, 2-3% of patients who do get the virus are at risk for dying. That's compared to 0.1% of people who contract the flu are at risk for dying. So far more deadlier than the flu, and something that, you know, we all have to be very cognizant of if you are, you know, if you want to make sure you don't have any significant or negative outcomes from this whole epidemic situation. So for more information, guys, you want to check out cdc.gov. This is where most of the information I told you tonight is on. Also, the World Health Organization website has a lot of excellent resources regarding the coronavirus. Please go and do some research for yourself, read up on it. Again, this is really going to be a big deal for the next few months, at the very least, possibly for the next year or so. You want to make sure that you're protecting yourself as much as you can. You're staying healthy. Again, if you're already healthy and doing well, you have an excellent chance of surviving this infection, even if you do get it. So I can't stress the importance of maintaining a healthy diet, exercise, and good nutrition. I mean, you really can't replace that. There's no pill you're going to buy that's going to be more effective than those things. Okay, guys? So again, it's your host, Dr. B. Thanks for listening to the Health and Wellness Connection. We are going to sign out at this time. And make sure you guys, you stay safe, stay healthy, and tune in to your local radio and TV stations for further news regarding coronavirus and the potential epidemic. It's Dr. B signing out. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Health and Wellness Podcast. For more info, check us out on Facebook at www.facebook.com/nextlevelweightloss. Our show can also be found on SoundCloud at www.soundcloud.com/HW Connection. Lastly, for any inquiries, email us at drberryhealth@gmail.com. Until next time.